We're going to commence our service by just giving you all a very warm welcome. It's been a busy day for quite a number in the church today, and it's for some, and myself and our young people, God willing. We still have another meeting over in Belfast. That's if you're travelling over to the Martyrs. My wife's husband's the preacher, so you can come along and support me and give me a bit of encouragement as we go to preach to the young people after this meeting. And I know you've worked very hard today. We appreciate that, and we trust the Lord will encourage your heart and bless you. And if you're feeling like me, extremely tired, looking for a lie down, well, it'll only come later on. But we're glad to see you all. We welcome you in our Saviour's name. For those visiting with us, for those listening on the World Wide Web, we warmly welcome you to the house of the Lord. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn number 79. Just before we sing, we're going to ask one of our young people, Daniel Gilmore. He's going to come and he's going to play the introduction, the first verse and chorus. He's going to introduce the worship and the praise. I'm giving you plenty of time to get across there, Daniel. We didn't think he'd be able to do it because he had broken the shoulder. Is that right, Lorna, the shoulder? And he just couldn't hold the flute, and certainly I couldn't help him out with that. Maybe size-wise, he could have put it on my shoulder, but I don't know. But he's here tonight, and he'll be able to play at least the first verse and chorus. And I've asked him if he feels up to it, he can play with the two musicians as well when we come to sing. So allow him to play the first verse and chorus of O Come All Ye Faithful, and then we'll stand, and the two musicians will help us as well. We'll sing together, and when we get to the end, there is a little melody there that we sung in the open air. We'll sing that as well. Might as well have the whole loaf as we're here tonight. Thank you. And that was good singing. We do appreciate that. And our sincere thanks to Daniel. Going to ask another one of our young people, our brother Callum, if he'll come forward. He's going just to open our meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you.
Just pray. Dear Lord our God, we thank you for gathering everyone under the house of your name tonight, Lord. We thank you for this time that has come. And it's a time not to remember everything that happens in the world, but to remember the birth of you, Lord. We thank you that we can remember you tonight. We ask that the young adults may bless your name. And we ask that you just guide the testimonies tonight, Lord. We thank you for this morning and the children, how they glorified your name, Lord. We just pray for those that can't be here tonight, Lord. We know that they would want nothing more at this time to be in your house, but maybe they can't be, Lord. We just ask that, we thank you that you've given them ways to listen online, Lord, and things like that. Yes. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless the rest of the meeting and that you will touch souls that are inside, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask this all in your precious name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Callum. I'm going to ask our brother Ben. He's going to come now and he's going to read God's word to us. Thank you.
Just a short reading from Luke chapter 1, starting in the verse 67. And his father Zechariah, as was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of the enemies, might serve him without of fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through tender the mercy of our Lord God, whereby this day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Thank you very much indeed, Ben. We're going to ask some of our young people now. They're very talented, both in the morning with the boys and girls, and also some of our young adults. We're going to ask Rebecca and Rachel and Daniel and Timothy if they'll come, and they're going to play for us now, please.
Thank you.
do really appreciate that playing. We recognise the gifts and talents you have. We always like to have them in the service as best we can. So maybe someday we'll have all the younger ones and some of the young adults in a little orchestra. I did say that we might even search out over 50s if you could play a musical instrument. And a man turned up at the open air today with his flute. And he's just slightly over 50. Our brother Alan turned up, and that's one we have. So we've definitely got one over 50 that can play a musical instrument. And I said to you that there was to be no combs with paper on them, no spoons, no washboards, and no over 70s thigh-slapping quartet. It has to be a musical instrument. So we have one, and that's the beginning of an orchestra for over 50. So who knows, maybe some night in the new year we'll have all the younger ones and all the young adults and some of our more senior members and friends taking part, and we'll have a little orchestra at the front here, and that certainly would be a help and certainly would enhance our services and adorn the gospel of Christ. Now, we've asked our sister Sarah McMillan to come along tonight, and she's going to sing a piece, O Holy Night. Thank you.
Oh!
was a powerful rendition of that great hymn, one of my favourite hymns. I don't know how many times this year, never mind Christmas, that I have listened to that, and I have the earphones in, and I'm sure it sounds dreadful. But to me, it's like being on the world stage. To my wife, what on earth's going on outside? Two cats are fighting. It's a tremendous piece. I've heard Sarah sing that piece on many, many an occasion, and I have to say, every time she's sung it, it's always been fantastic. Tonight, I just think she excelled, and that's the best I've heard her singing that piece. Now, she's a great singer, and she's been here with us, and we do appreciate that. Thank you very much, Sarah, for helping us, and we are praying for you and your family, and of course, your dad, James, is in our thoughts and prayers. We do have two more of our young people to take part tonight, and it's my own son, Samuel, the middle boy, and his fiancée, or is it fiancée, Leah Fallows. Going to ask Samuel and Leah, both of them to come support one another. In the will of the Lord, they intend to get married next year, and they will now testify as two single individuals, and this is the last time he'll testify before he takes the leap. I've had a good father and son talk to him, but it's not working. He's intending to go ahead with it. And I've taught him many a lesson. And I showed him how to get his mother to take out the trash. He's able to do it today. I showed him how to do it. Now, Samuel, follow the master, son. Watch. Follow the master. I took the bottle of bleach and I says, June, watch that. Watch your dress as you're bringing that out to the bin. And she's going like this, bringing it out. She had the thought saying, why am I bringing this out? I said to Sam, the master, son, learn from me. You know, and there's another wee incident as well. And he had a good laugh going up the stairs. And I said, son, remember the master. So he's taught well, but Leah was there to see it all. So she probably now knows full well. Take it out yourself. All right. So going to ask Samuel and Leah to come now. They're going to share with us a personal word of testimony. Thank you.
I'd just like to start off my testimony tonight by reading one verse of Scripture as found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So for anyone that doesn't know me tonight, as been introduced already, my name is Samuel Martin. I was born on the 11th of February, 1997, and I'm a middle child of two brothers, which are called Aaron and Timothy. And as you know, my dad is a minister here in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church. But don't be fooled by the face you see in the pulpit tonight, because while I may look very, very similar to my dad, I'm definitely not as long-winded as he is.
That's the end of that song. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But as I had the privilege of being born in a Christian home where both my mum and dad are saved, and there was never a time in my life when I didn't know, nor my brothers, that we needed to be saved. From an early age, both of my parents faithfully taught my brothers and I our need of salvation. We were sent along faithfully to church meetings every week. On a Sunday, we would attend two Sunday schools, one in the morning in Lisburn and one in the afternoon in the church over in Ockalee. We also attended two church services on Sundays, morning and evening, as well as the children's meetings on a Wednesday night. Then to finish the week off, we attended the junior and senior youth fellowship on a Friday night. So as a child growing up, I was taught and raised faithfully in the things of God, but yet none of these things made me a Christian. Just because both my parents were saved didn't mean I was saved. At the age of 5, one night at our children's meeting in Lisburn, one of the leaders was speaking about heaven and how when we die, if we are saved, we'll go to heaven. But if we don't repent of our sin, we go to hell. And I remember this speaking to me, and I went straight home after the meeting and spoke to my dad and asked him how I'd become a Christian. Because I began to realize that if I wasn't saved, that I wouldn't be in heaven with my family or friends or ever see them again if I was to die. And I just simply said to my dad that what was spoken on the meeting that night, and I asked him how I became a Christian, and he sat me down and pointed me to Christ that night. And growing up as a child through teenage years, as a Christian for me, it wasn't difficult, because me and my two brothers attended the Christian school over in Portadown, so we had a lot of Christian influences in our lives. Now, I left school in P4 and was then homeschooled from P5 right up to first year. Then I went back to the Christian school in second year, where I stayed to complete my GCSEs. After getting my GCSE results, I had enough points to go on and do A-levels, but having no interest in school whatsoever, I left fifth year never to step foot in another school classroom again, and life was good. After school, I went on to study manufacturing engineering in Lisburn Tech. But sadly, in my tech days, I was introduced to a lot of things that I hadn't experienced while at school, because being brought up in a good Christian ethos right the whole way through until fifth year, and having been only involved with Christian people, it's very daunting going to a place where maybe you're the only Christian. And this starting in the tech and this new engineering course, this would then lead on to hanging around with the wrong crowd, and being dragged down into things of the world. And I'm thankful that after some time, that through different church meetings, that I was able to give my life back to the Lord and take the stand that I should have been taking right from the beginning. After completing my engineering course, I went on to further study a part-time foundation degree in mechatronic engineering. And while I was studying this foundation degree, I started working for an engineering company over in Portadown called Dawson Engineering, where I find myself today, 7 years later, still working for Dawson's. Now, travelling from Lisburn to Portadown seemed far enough at the start, but then my dad received a call to Cumber, and this was a big step for our family, as we hadn't moved churches before. While my dad knew that this was a call from God, I wasn't sure what way it would affect me, my work life, whether I would end up changing jobs to work somewhere closer to home. But this was God's plan for our family. And I'm thankful that everything has worked out better than we could have imagined. Amen. In Lisburn, I had the privilege of being part of the media team in the church, and I'm thankful that I get to continue serving the Lord in the church by becoming part of the media team here in Cumber. And I'd like to thank everyone here in the church for bringing us in and being so welcoming and friendly to our family. Just going back a few years now, almost 7 years to be exact, this is when you could really say things went downhill for me. And yes, you might have guessed it already, I met a woman. No, but Leah has been a huge blessing in my life, and I'm so thankful that God has brought us together. Not only has she been a great encouragement to me, Leah has now got the privilege of being stuck with me for life as we're getting married next year. I'm so thankful that I've been blessed with a Christian fiancé and wife-to-be who has been by my side over the last 6 or 7 years and has really kept me from going astray. I can truly say, while all of my old friends and old tech friends were heading out at weekends and partying and all that carry on, that I was spending my weekends with Leah instead of joining them. And I can honestly say that if it wasn't for Leah coming into my life, that I don't think I'd be standing here sharing my testimony with you all tonight. And that's something that I'm thankful for every day. Sorry. I'd ask for your prayers as we plan our wedding. Yes. Search for a place to live and prepare our future together. Finally, I want to close by leaving with you a few verses that have been in great encouragement to me recently. And they're found in John chapter 14, verses 1-3. And it simply says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank you.
I just want to start by reading a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 3, reading from verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I also want to read a couple of verses found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." For those who don't know me, my name is Leah Fallows, and I was born in the Ulster Hospital, approximately 10 minutes from this building, on the 10th of August, 1999. I was brought up in a Christian home where both my parents were saved. From an early age, I attended Sandown Free Presbyterian Church, and I was sent faithfully along to Sunday school each Sunday, followed by the morning service, then over to an afternoon Sunday school in Hollywood, and then back to church for the evening service. I also attended the children's meeting in the church on a Tuesday night. From as young as I can remember, I knew my need for salvation and that I was a sinner and needed saved by God's grace. One Sunday night, I remember sitting at home with my mum and my baby brother Joshua. While both my dad and my sister were at church, I was speaking to my mum on the bed about my need of salvation, and she explained so clearly about how, why we needed to be saved, and that night I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. I have two older sisters, Amy and also Bethany, who is in heaven. 2 years before I was born, Bethany was born with a rare condition called Edwards syndrome. Sadly, at the age of almost 3 months, she passed away on Christmas Eve, 1997. Although I never got to meet her on earth, I know for sure I will meet her in heaven someday.
That's right.
Living as a Christian in primary school was quite easy, as everybody seemed to attend church in Sunday school. In my primary years, I went to our own youth fellowship on a Friday night in the church, and also a youth club run by the Elam on a Saturday night. I attended Sandown Summer Camp for 9 years and went on to become a leader. I also became a leader at the children's meeting and took part doing the memory first, leading the courses and doing the quiz. I also helped out in the bus, collecting the children and bringing them in each Tuesday night. These times really were encouraging and a great way of mixing with other Christians and getting involved in the work of the church. I started Bloomfield Collegiate in 2011, which I enjoyed and I was able to achieve and get the grades I needed for further education. Secondary school was when I struggled more as a Christian, as everybody had their own religious beliefs, morals and views. RE class was a challenge, particularly during the GCSE year, when having discussions on topics such as abortion and LGBTQ+. Sometimes I was the only person who was against these topics, which was very challenging as a young Christian. My GCSE school years were most definitely the hardest years of my life. In 2015, my granda on my dad's side passed away, and 7 months later, while sitting my mocks for GCSE, my granny passed away. In 2016, I lost one of my childhood friends to leukaemia, which was a massive shock in my life. In July 2016, Lindsay was at the summer camp I had invited her to, and sadly, in the October time, she ended up with leukaemia, and sadly passed away in the November. For me, losing someone the same age as myself really got to me, especially on occasions of reaching certain milestones, made me even more thankful. I have never really had to talk about this part of my life before, but I find it relevant as it is the biggest challenge that I have faced to date. Throughout my years in secondary school, I had a very upsetting and difficult family situation in which I lived, and looking back, it was only for the grace of God for bringing me through this time. My siblings and I grew closer as we felt we only had each other during such a heartbreaking situation. In 2016, my mum and dad went through a divorce, which changed my life completely. I personally struggled to come to terms with it all and found I was under immense pressure, especially setting my GCSE exams in school. The transition of having one parent in the family home instead of two was a very distressing thing for me, and I never wanted to talk to anyone about it and didn't cope very well. Due to the stress, I suffered with stomach problems, which I still have to deal with today. I don't mention this part of my life for you listening tonight to feel sorry for me, but to realise that God was my protection and my strength, and without him, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. A verse in particular I held on to during these times of trial was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Everybody talks about their biggest blessings in their life, and I truthfully can say God has blessed me with a second family. Sam came into my life at a time when I was at my lowest, and although I didn't plan the timing, it was God's timing. It was actually a pretty funny story how we met. Both Sandown Youth and Lisburn Youth were having a joint meeting in March 2014 over in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, and of course that's when Sam spent 6 months in the end trying to figure out my name along with his friends. 2015, we started dating, and of course the significance of the year Sam came into my life was God's plan. I have been blessed with future in-laws who don't fully understand how appreciative and grateful I was to have them in my life to talk to when I was at my lowest point and for treating me like one of their own. I came down to the Martin household every weekend as a getaway break from home, and I started to then attend Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. I am thankful to God for blessing me with a godly mother-in-law who encouraged me and prayed for me every single day. I went on to study business with marketing in Ulster University in Londonderry. Personally, looking back, I wish I hadn't have moved away, as I made some bad decisions that I wished I hadn't have made, and I found it difficult to stand for the Lord. COVID hit, and it was the biggest change to most people with education, church, and also family life. Studying final year at home was a blessing in disguise for me. I wasn't in the same uni environment, and I was able to get closer to God more than I ever had before. For any young person who are currently at uni or have plans to go to uni, take your stand for the Lord, as God will bless and encourage you as a young Christian. Due to COVID, I wasn't able to complete my placement year, which was supposed to partake before final year, but God had other plans and led me to work as a community care worker in the Arts District alongside my final year of uni. I have had plenty of opportunities to talk to the elderly about church, and I've been able to give them Christian literature and DVDs from our own church services, which have been passed on to their family members. Please pray for the unsaved elderly. They always ask plenty of questions about church and what I believe. I know there's something different about me, and I have something they sadly don't have. I've recently just accepted a job in the Ulster Hospital to work in the children's ward starting in the new year, which I hope to then go on and study further to become a nurse. God opened a door to a whole new career, which which I never thought of before, but I'm excited for what the future holds in my life with starting a new career and setting out marriage life in 8 months' time. I just want to finish and say that with the good times and the bad times, God has kept me and guided me through it all. There's been many times I've let the Lord down and have had doubts about my faith and questioned myself about my walk with God. The devil puts these thoughts in your head and tries to make you doubt and question, am I really saved? Two verses that help me with these doubts of faith are found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If there is someone here tonight and do not yet know the Lord as your Saviour, I urge you tonight that behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
I would like to sincerely thank Samuel and Leah for sharing with us their personal word of testimony. And sometimes when you hear their testimonies, you do hear what at times they've been going through. There's quite a lot of things young people keep to themselves, bottle up, and don't share, even with some of their best friends, never mind their parents or their pastor. And we're thankful to the Lord that he looks after them, keeps them safe. And I'm sure there are many other young people, and you've passed through difficulties and trials in your life. And I'm sure church young people feel that they never have a difficulty, they never have a problem, they never upset, they never have any times of backsliding, and they have no temptation, and all is well, and they live up in the clouds. But it's not so, and these testimonies are very helpful to us as a congregation to remember our young people and to pray for them. They are the lifeblood of the church to come, and the seniors, and I put myself in that bracket, we're the backbone, and we certainly would want God's richest blessing to rest upon them. And I would like just to thank our Young Adults Fellowship for the monthly meetings that you've attended. I know it's been a difficult time during COVID and all the restrictions, but you've been very faithful, and even in your attendance at the House of God, we always see you Sunday morning, Sunday evening up in that gallery, and we're glad to get you downstairs here and to see, so the congregation to see that we do have young people. Some people come in and out and they don't see them. They're all tucked away up in the gallery, but we're thankful for you, and we pray God will richly bless you. We really mean that, and others gathered here in the house. So a sincere thanks to all who have taken part this evening. We do sincerely appreciate that. We're going to ask our Clerk of Session, Mr. Jackie Alistair, if he'll come forward. He's going to make some necessary announcements. Thank you.
I got a bit carried away there. I forgot I had to come up and do the announcement still. I was enjoying the meeting, but it is good to see. And there's still quite a number up in the gallery, even with all these other folks down, all these young folks. So it is good to see you all at the House of the Lord. Do remember the meetings, of course, as Mr. Martin has mentioned. There is that youth meeting over in the Martyrs Memorial this evening, that after church meeting. So young folks, if you can make your way over, no doubt you would be made welcome and hear good preaching as well. So do remember that. This week, on Tuesday evening, There is at 7 p.m. the mustard seed meeting for the boys and girls. It's the last one, obviously, in this current term, and Miss Joyce Walsh will be along to speak to the boys and girls on Tuesday evening. Then we have our prayer meeting, as normal, at 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening, so keep that in mind. No more meetings then the rest of the week until next Lord's Day. And we meet again, no Sabbath school, of course, but at 11:30, our morning service, Mr. Robert McConnell will be the speaker. And at 7 p.m. then, our brother, Mr. Stuart Nicol, will be bringing a personal word of testimony at our gospel service. So do remember those meetings. If you can, try to be with us next Lord's Day. I mentioned this morning that the free will offering envelopes are available there in the hall. If there are anyone who hasn't been part of the free will offering envelope system and you want to be, you can just help yourself to envelopes there in the hall. We don't need to know the number. At the end of the year, we just list the numbers and the amount given, and you'll be able to see your own giving and so on. Apart from that, apart from those who are in the gift aid scheme, nobody else needs to be aware of that number. So do remember that. I've seen a good few of those who are in the gift aid scheme and given your envelopes, and a few still to see, but you'll get them if you're here, hopefully, later tonight. I mentioned as well that didn't look on the way in, but there are a couple of missionary boxes there that came in. There were no names on them, so they have been emptied, and they're waiting for you there on the table in the porch of the church. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to our brother Jackie for making those announcements, subject as always to the divine will of the Lord. We're going to stand this time, change of position. We're going to sing a hymn. I'm not sure if everybody knows the hymn. I don't know the hymn myself, but I know the tune. And it should come up on screen. Do we get it all sorted, Paul? Yeah? Okay, so Do You Know the Christ of Christmas? It goes to the tune, Face to Face, Shall I Behold Him? I'll wait up. Yes, okay. So hopefully by the second verse at least, there's only three verses in the hymn. Do you know the Christ of Christmas, precious babe of lowly birth, gift of love from God the Father, Saviour given to all the earth? We'll stand together as we sing, Do You Know the Christ of Christmas? Very keen. Margie, give it to me. Sorry about that. I thought there was another verse myself. Okay, folks, well, we are thankful for Sister Margaret passed this on. I think at one stage, 2015, I think it was sung here in the church. I did see a little order of service, and we do appreciate you singing that. Now, my time has gone, and I have another meeting to go to, and you'll be thankful. So I'm toying. I don't know what to do. I don't like these occasions, but I was thinking I just have to set aside the message that I'd planned to preach. So, men, don't put the points up on the internet because it'll not match the points. So I've scribbled some notes down. I don't even have my notes from this afternoon. Now, you'll be glad. I will tell you one thing. I have a very good memory. I have a very good memory, but it might not just last too long tonight. But I just want to take just a little text that I preached in the open air. The message tonight would maybe take us to 20 past 8. And I don't want to do that. And that's rushing it. And I certainly don't want to do that. So I've been toying, just as folks were testifying and singing and so on, whether I should just change the message. And I just feel I should. And I'll take just a little text that I preached this afternoon in the open air. And hopefully I'll remember it and remember the points. I've scribbled them down here. They may not be in the order you heard today. And then you can truthfully say it's a different message. It's not the same order, at least. But it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 15. And it's just that little phrase that the Apostle Paul has written to the church at Corinth. Whenever he said in chapter 9 of his second epistle, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father in heaven, we stand before thee this evening in our Saviour's name. And in the closing moments of this gospel meeting, we thank thee for what which has gone already, Lord, forward. We thank thee for our young people, for their ministry and song, for the playing of these musical instruments, for the reading of scripture, the opening of prayer, the special testimonies. We thank thee for the solo piece. We bless thee, Lord, for the gifts and talents given to them. We thank thee for young people that are saved and they know the Lord, and for young people who are willing to serve. And we pray you'll bless them and you'll encourage them and you'll undertake for them. And as we come to close out this meeting now, Father, I humbly ask of thee for that help from heaven. Lord, it's different from the norm, and I pray that you'll remember me. Grant, Lord, even that infilling of thy Spirit with wisdom and with power for the ministry of thy word and for the text. And even though you've redirected the message, God, grant that you remember me, thy servant. I stand before thee now as thy child and ask for cleansing and the infilling of the Spirit for the ministry of thy holy word. I ask these things in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he had two letters to write to them for various reasons, and I'll go into that. But he certainly had reason to write to them about their giving. And he was encouraging them to give. And he spoke about those who give liberally and those who give sparingly. Those who are really beneficial to their fellow man, and those who hoard their money and give nothing to charity, to God's work, to missionary causes. And when he was writing in his second epistle to believers at Corinth, he was telling them about giving. The whole chapter 9, by the way, is all about giving. It's all about the giving of God's people. He's dealing with tithing. And he's saying to them, there has to be a performance of that which you promised. And a year ago, if my memory serves me right, I'm not even using my Bible at present, but I remember that chapter well, because a year previous, the Apostle Paul says, you were minded to give to help the cause of Christ and to have an offering for me to bring to Jerusalem to help the poor saints there. And you didn't perform it and you failed miserably. And that was a year ago. You promised and you vowed. And when I come to visit, I'm writing to you now in advance, but when I come to visit, I don't want there to be a special collection. I don't want me to have to preach on it and deal with it. I want you to have it ready. I want you to have it prepared. I want you to have that offering done and all, that when I arrive, I'll be able to receive it and I'll be able to carry it with me and bring it to Jerusalem to aid the poor saints and those that are going through difficult times. And as Paul was speaking about human giving, he always had his eye upon God and God's giving. Every time he spoke about human giving, Paul could not get away from the thought of what God gave. And so whenever he finished talking to the people of God in letter, all of a sudden he just bursts out in the middle of literally a passage that relates to the church and their giving. And he reminds them, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So no matter what you as a church raise, and no matter how much money you give to help the poor, and no matter how much that collection comes to, and even if it exceeds every other collection, and God touches your heart, it is nothing in comparison to God's giving. And therefore he was constrained of the Spirit of God in the midst of preaching on tithing. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, did you know that there is a gift at Christmas that has your name on it? And I want to tell you, it's not under a Christmas tree. It's not being delivered by Amazon Prime or Hermes or DPD or any other delivery individuals. It's not, you'll find it through the letterbox. You'll not find it in a stocking. You'll not find it at the end of your bed. There is a gift, and it has your name on it tonight. And it is the gift of God's salvation. That salvation is offered freely in the gospel. And you know what a gift is. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you merit. It's not something you've worked for. A gift is something that's freely given. The individual thinks about you. The individual loves you and thinks about your need and provides what they think you might need. And I want to think about that gift in closing. And I want to say the following. First of all, when we think of God's gift, it is an expensive gift. I don't know what you're buying your husband or what you're buying your wife. I don't know what you have planned. I don't want to give any secrets away. But some people might want an expensive gift, that's for sure. They may want a diamond ring, and it's not an engagement ring. They may want a necklace with emeralds and rubies in it, and it's going to cost quite a bit of money. And there's no doubt, and some people will even say, no expense spared. And if my wife wants that, she'll get that. One thing you'll never buy her is a Hoover. And if you do, you'll never forget about it. Never buy her a mop. And never buy her an iron. And never say, my wife wants an iron for Christmas. Never, men, never do that. Son, you learn from the master. Never do that. That's the last time you'll do it. You'll either be wearing the mop or else the Hoover lead will be around your neck. But you know, there are some gifts and they cost a fortune. I know young people, and they've talked to me, and I've asked them, well, are you getting any nice for Christmas? And they said, yes. And they name what they were getting. I want to tell you that they're close on £1,000 for one item. It's not in my family, as you would know. It's close to £1,000 for one single item. I think there was a young person said to me the other day, maybe even in this church tonight, I want a car for Christmas. They want a car for Christmas. And I can tell you, that'll cost a few pounds, won't it? That'll cost a few pounds. Expensive gifts. It says if you really love a person, then diamonds is the best way to show your love to an individual. And that's how the jewelers sell at this time. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. And the way to a woman's heart is through the diamond. You know the difference between a real diamond and a false diamond. If you get a ring and there it is and it's sparkling and you say, wow, look at that. Now here's how you test it, ladies, young people. If you get a diamond ring that says, that's cost me a fortune now, don't lose that. You hold it up to the light. And if that really sparkles, and if you give it a little turn, it'll sparkle in a different way, and you'll know it's a pure diamond. And if you lift that up and it sparkles the same way and never changes when you move it, you know that it's not a real diamond. And you're being bluffed. An expensive gift. But you know, was there a gift like the Saviour given? Could we even measure the worth of the gift of God? There are many things in this world that the rich can buy their spouses and their children. There are many things in this world that would cost you a week's wages or maybe a year's salary for all we know. And you might say, well, I would give it all to my children or my wife and I'd buy them whatever they want. But I want to say to you, some of the greatest gifts in this world are nothing in comparison to what God gave. It's an expensive gift. It cost Christ his life. It cost God humiliation when he came from heaven to earth, was born of a virgin, lived among men and dwelt amongst men, was made a little lower than the angels, subject only in role and function because Christ is co-equal with the Father and Spirit. But he was in role and function made a little lower than the angels. He was made of the weakest form, of all of God's creation, that is flesh and bone, all for the suffering of death on the cross. And there on Calvary, he purchased salvation and he paid the ultimate price that no holy angel or archangel or human being could ever pay. Was there a gift like the Savior given? It is an expensive gift. It cost God everything he had. And the one commentator on an occasion said, I quote, he says, God emptied the treasury of heaven when he gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of sinners. And that is true. Heaven had no more to give. Heaven had nothing left to give. It gave its very best, God's well-beloved Son. And yet there are many in this world and people in this meeting and listening on the internet, and you've never thought about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not only an expensive gift, but it's an expressive gift. You see, a gift expresses something. There's a thought behind it. Very few people give without thinking. Very few people would think about you at Christmas time and just buy haphazardly and just say, sure, that'll do them, give it to them. Or just lift a tin of biscuits and just say, look, they're half eaten, but just wrap them up and throw them on. I remember at one time receiving a box of sweets. And the person gave me the box of sweets. When I opened it up on Christmas Day, there was a card in it to them. And it was Happy Christmas to them. They never opened it, you see, and they put the card inside. And when I opened it up, I'll not give the name because they're not present, but they might be watching on the internet. I'll never forget it. I ripped it open. It's me, card and all. And I thought it was from this person that gave it me. And what had happened was they had gotten the gift and they didn't want it, so they gave it to me. But they forgot there was a card inside it. And the person that gave it to them must have said, if he gives this away, he'll be caught on. So he really gave a gift to me that was already given to him. And I don't know many times it's probably passed on through the hands, but I ended up with it. I should have looked at the year, because it could have been from last year for all I know. But I want to tell you, it's the thought that counts, not always. That thought didn't certainly count in my life. I never forgot that, I can tell you. I never forgot that. And I know the man. And will I tell you something about him? He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. And I was tempted to say to him, but I've never said to him this day. But an expressive gift. You know, you'll think about your loved one. You'll think about your children. And behind those gifts, I know sometimes young people and boys and girls, you don't appreciate. You get too much, perhaps. And you open one present and throw it to the side. And then you get another. And you rip it open, you throw it to the side. And you get another. And before you know it, I hold the black bin liner bag, you know, take all the rubbish away as they're opening all their presents when they were younger. And sometimes they don't appreciate. And that is true. And yet there you are, you're thinking about it. I'll never forget one Christmas Eve, I got one of my boys, and maybe three of them, but I know for one, it might have been Samuel, got him a bike. And I remember I was doing a young people's rally up in Randallstown, never forget it. And the time was going on and I had to preach. But I had to go home. I had to go and get the bike. And then I had to put it all together. And when I opened it all up, I didn't even know where to start. And they give me a wee dopey spanner, a flat spanner with all these parts in it. And the knuckles were ripped and they were bleeding. And in the morning, there was the bike. But he did appreciate it and the joy on their face. But you know, it's the thought behind it. And when you think of God's gift, what an expressive gift it is. You think of the thought that God has put into that gift. You think of the design of the gospel and the deliverance of that gospel. And you think of the declaration of it to your soul. And behind that gift is eternal thought. God thought of you because God loves you. And that gift is expressive of his concern and interest and love for sinners like you and me. It's not only an expensive gift and an expressive gift, but can I say to you, it's an essential gift. Now, have you ever asked the question? I have. And my wife's here to prove this. We've often said this. What do we get them for Christmas? What do we get them? And we thought of our family. We thought of our friends. And we say, sure, they have everything. They have everything. What do we get them for Christmas? And no matter what you get them, no, I've got that. Well, I already have that. And I'm sure this Christmas, and especially the Father, somehow we are the guinea pig. We are the one that nobody wants a gift, they give it to us. And I know my mother-in-law, the Lord bless her, she bought me hankies every year. 4 hankies with a letter T on it. If it wasn't bad enough, I don't use the hankies unless we're at the Martyrs, you know, till we meet again. And I could hand them all out. Free hankies, 14 years of it, let me tell you. And not one of them was ever used. And I use tissues, by the way, so I do blow my nose, okay. Not that I don't use hankies, I do. But I didn't need them. And there they came, and socks, and jumpers. And she didn't really know my size. Sometimes it was up here, sometimes it was out there. And I'm glad she didn't knit. Dear knows what I'd have got. The socks, and then the hat, and the scarf. And there's a lot of things, let's be honest, we don't need. One thing our house doesn't need, but do not take me at my word, is chocolate. I have a bar of chocolate in my pocket that a young person gave me tonight. And they says, I know you've never been to a chocolate factory, but I brought one to you. And it was one of those Willy Wonka chocolate bars. And I have it here in my pocket. I'm just thinking to myself, I should have taken it out. It's probably melted by now. So I better hurry up. But essential gift. You know, here's a gift that everybody needs. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You've asked the question. Yet here's a gift that every person in the world needs. That every person in the world doesn't have. We have close friends, and I can tell you, there's not a thing in this world they don't have. And whenever they were 50 years married, I said to my wife, what would you ever get them? What could you get them? And we couldn't think of anything. And my wife came up with an idea. You know what she said? Get them a McKee's hamper. And you know something? That's something they never had. And there are other farm shops as well in the country and in the place as well. But there's some people, and you couldn't buy them anything because they've got it already. But here's something all the world needs. They need God's salvation. And it is an essential gift. It's a gift you need. It's a gift that God gives because he knows you need it. And he has purchased it. It's an expensive gift. And he has provided it because he loves sinners. It's an expressive gift. And it is an essential one. Because you need it. You need God's salvation tonight. Without it, you'll not be in heaven. You heard that in the testimony. Without God's salvation, you'll never have peace with God. You'll never have your sins forgiven. You will never know the deliverance from the lowest hell. And therefore, my friend, you need to be saved. You need God's salvation. You need to come to Christ tonight. And you need to repent of your sin. And you need to receive the gift of God purchased at Calvary by the shed blood of the Lamb and through the finished work of the cross. Can I say finally that it is an eternal gift? Many gifts I'm sure that you've bought last year. Many gifts that perhaps a few years ago that you've bought and been given. They're gone. They're either broken. I know it's a tragedy in one sense. We don't like to use that word in this sense. But say a young person, they get a brand new phone. Maybe one of the latest iPhone. Is it iPhone 13 now or something? Or an Apple Watch or an iPad or a tablet. And there it is, and it's cost hundreds of pounds. Maybe even a laptop that's cost several thousand pounds. And there it is. And Christmas morning, they open it up, and it's a laptop. And you lift it up. Hey, look at this. And you drop it right in the ground. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen to you. You'll blame me. I don't believe in putting the scud on anybody. But I will say this. What a tragedy. There it is. Broken. And you look at it and the screen's broken. And the back's hanging off it. And the battery's laying outside of it. And you bring it maybe on Wednesday of the following week. And you say, could you fix that? And they say, no. You've smashed that. It's unfixable. But I want to tell you something. God's gift will never break down. It'll never wear out. The bottle of perfume will. The jewelry will corrode, and in many ways it can be lost. And the car will eventually grow old and have to be sold. And technology will move on and become old and out of date. But here's a gift that's eternal. And when you receive this gift, you never need another. You never need to fix it. It'll never break. It'll never be destroyed. Any wonder Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Tell me, have you ever received the gift of God, which is eternal life? Have you ever taken God's salvation? received Christ as your Saviour, has there been a time in your life, a moment in your experience, when you came as a sinner to Christ, repented of your sin, and received the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord? May this be the very night that you turn from your sin and you take the offer of mercy and salvation in the gospel. And remember, it is an expensive gift. It costs Christ his life. Don't reject it. An awful thing on Christmas morning, if a child threw a gift back in your face. Parent, how would you feel? I don't want that. Oh, but I thought you needed. No, I don't want it. It's the wrong colour. It's not the one I wanted. Now, you know how selfish that would be, how hurtful that would be to have a gift thrown back at you. Well, don't reject this gift as it's freely offered to you tonight. But come, sinner, take the gift of God's salvation. Will you do that? I'll finish by saying to you, as it comes to my mind, I know an evangelist, and he was out visiting a family. This family went to Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church. I know them very well, and they shared this story with me. Just comes to mind as I'm finishing. They lived just a few doors from where I lived. And I remember the evangelist went in, and the woman was sitting there, and she was very close to being saved. And the evangelist said, and gave her money, he says, "Would you take that?" And she looked at it. She says, "Are you serious?" He says, "Would you take it? If I give you this, would you take it?" "Of course I would." And he says, "Well, go ahead then. Take it." And she reached out her hand and she took the money gift. And he says, "Now, can I keep this?" "Absolutely, it's yours. Didn't I offer it to you? It's mine. It belongs to me. I'm giving it to you. And you've reached out your hand. You've taken it. Now, you can keep that. It's yours." And she was overjoyed. And then he turned it around and he says, "You know, in many ways," and we never like to simplify the gospel, "but in many ways, that's all you've got to do as a sinner. God offers you the gift of salvation, purchased at highest cost. You don't have to earn it, work for it, or deserve it, but just take it. Just the way you did when I offered you that money. Take it." And the woman said to me, "You know, the penny dropped. And there and then, with that evangelist, I received Christ, and my husband did as well, as Saviour and Lord. And to this day," and that could be over 30-odd years ago, "both are still going on with the Lord." My friend, would you take it tonight? It's offered freely. Or will you walk out of this house and reject it? Maybe for the last time. Would you throw the gift of salvation back to God and say, "I don't want that. It's not suited for me." "It is. I don't need it," "but you do. You really don't want it." Is that what you're saying to the Lord? Are you going to throw the gift of salvation back in his face? Offend a holy God? Reject? "I don't do that." Come tonight. Repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Saviour. Father, we thank thee for thy presence this evening. We ask that you'll bless the preaching of thy word to every heart. Still our souls, encourage our souls, and speak, O God, to those that are out of Christ without a Saviour. May this be the night they come and trust Christ as Saviour and Lord. So bless us now as we part, and take us, Lord, to our homes in safety. And remember our young people over this Christmas season when they're off school, when they're perhaps off work. We pray you'll keep them safe and watch over them. We think, Lord, of the party season. Whenever, Lord, the temptation is there, we pray, Lord, you'll give them grace to say no to sin and to the way of the world, and help them, Lord, to live for thee and to serve thee. So take of our thanks for today, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.